So a wonderful time to be able to share with you the word of God this morning.
今天是一段很美好的时间，又能够和大家一起来分享神的话。
It occurred to me last night that this is the first time me and Eunice stood up here since we announced our wedding.
这好像是我们俩自2015年宣布我俩要结婚之后，第一次同时站在这个讲台上。
We thank God for His graciousness all these years.
我们非常感恩神这么多年的恩典。
Could we please turn in our Bibles and on the screen to Matthew 20, please?
请我们大家一起把圣经翻到马太福音的第二十章。
Matthew 20.
马太福音二十章。
Now, when you and I read the Bible, sometimes it is very instructive.
有的时候我们读圣经的话，会觉得它非常有指导意义。
What to do, what not to do, how to treat people, how not to treat people.
比如说，我们应该做什么，我们不应该做什么，我们应该如何去对待别人，我们又不应该如何去对待别人。
Other times we come across something that really draws out our emotion.
那有的时候我们读的时候，可能会让我们觉得非常引发我们里面的情感。
Like for example, we read what God and Jesus did, and it just causes us to praise Him spontaneously.
有的时候我们可能读到神所做的或者主耶稣他所说的话的时候，就使我们的心中立刻向他发出了敬拜。
At one point I learned what the 3 hours of darkness that that Brother Tom mentioned earlier was about, from noon to 3 p.m. when Jesus was on the cross.
当我第一次学到耶稣他在十字架上从那个中午一直到下午三点遍地黑暗三个小时的那个时候。
I learned that supernatural darkness was the judgment of God on His own Son.
其实这个超自然的黑暗是神对于他自己儿子的一个审判。
I thought it meant that it got cloudy and it was going to rain.
我以为只不过可能天黑了，可能是要下雨或者 yeah.
And I learned that the cup that he was mulling over the night before, it was not about the Roman cross, it was about judgment and the cup of wrath.
所以当他在上十字架之前的那一个夜晚，当他十分悲痛的时候，并不是因为那个悲，而实际上是因为神的那个审判要临到他。
When I understood the darkness was really meant for me, but the fact that Jesus stood in my place and took it,
当我理解到那个黑暗实际上是为我所预备的，而耶稣占了我的位置代替我的时候，
It brought out my admiration.
实在是让我心里面对神有了一种崇敬。
And I praise God because it wasn't the first time I read that verse, but at that point it was revealed to me.
我心里面是在赞美神，因为那并不是我第一次读到那一段圣经，但是那次我读的时候，好像突然那个话就向我开启。
So it's the word of God that draws out true repentance and draws out joyful revelations like these.
所以是神的话带我们进入那个真实的悔改还有喜乐和平安。
I'm convinced every genuine believer has had moments like this.
我也深信在这里的每一个信徒，我们如果是真正相信主耶稣的话，我们生命当中也一定有这样同样的时刻。
So I never recommend Christian fiction or not even so much Christian movies.
所以我也不推荐什么基督徒的电影或者是小说。
So our passage today could be for you one of those passages. And before we read it, I want to bring something else up.
今天我们要读的就是这样的一段经文，但是在我们读经文之前，我想要提到一点。
Our God, He has often been accused of being unfair or unjust.
我们的神有的时候会被人说成他是不公平的或者是不公正的。
For example, in Ezekiel,
比如在以西结书里面，
he reminded Israel that they were in captivity because of their sins.
他就提醒这些以色列人，他们之所以被掳，是因为他们犯了罪。
They sinned in many ways against God, but one of the ways was that they thought God was unfair.
他们有很多得罪神的地方，但是其中有很重要的一点，就是他们觉得神他是不公正的。
Chapter 18, twice God says this.
在以西结书第十八章两次提到。
He says, "You say the way of the Lord is not just. Hear now, Israel, is not my way equal? Are not your ways unequal?"
以西结书十八章二十五节，你们还说主的道不公平，以色列家呀，你们当听，我的道岂不公平吗？你们的道岂不是不公平吗？
And God gives a laundry list of all the things that they did to prove what he said.
神就给了他们一大长条的这个清单啊，写了他们是怎么样去得罪神。
The New Testament deals with this too. For example, in Romans 2, it says this.
在新约里面也有提到，比如在罗马书的第二章。
Verse 9, it says, there will be, we don't have to turn to it, but just listen. There will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does good, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For God does not show favoritism.
将患难困苦加给一切作恶的人，先是犹太人，后是希腊人，却将荣耀、尊贵、平安加给一切行善的人。先是犹太人，后是希腊人，因为神不偏待人。
It is a serious offense to accuse God of being unjust.
如果我们想指责上帝的公平性的话，这实在是一个非常严重的冒犯。
And the parable about to read in Matthew 20 labors that point.
我们马上要读的马太福音第二十章就会让我们看到这一点。
This is a parable that Jesus invented. It's only in Matthew.
这个比喻啊，是耶稣他自己所想出来的，那么也只有记载在马太福音里面。
So let us read it. Actually, it's better to start it in the last verse of chapter 19:30.
好，我们下面来一起读一下。那最好的话，我想是从十九章的最后一节我们开始读。
Let's have everyone read it together, and Eunice will read as everyone reads with her together, just in Chinese.
好，我们从十九章的三十节开始读。
And those of you that speak English, you can just follow along on the screen.
好，我们大家可以一起。
Matthew 19, verse 30 to Matthew 20, ending in verse 16.
从十九章的三十节开始，
19,
再往上一点。
Chapter
19, 30. It's okay. 好。
Evidently, there's no way to change the chapters without unsharing. So, sorry.
It's okay.
Just wait for it. 30 of chapter 19.
好，十九章三十节，我们大家一起读。然而有许多在前的将要在后，在后的将要在前。因为天国好像家主清早出去雇人进他的葡萄园做工，和工人讲定一天一钱银子，就打发他们进葡萄园去。约在四出出去，看见世上还有闲站的人，就对他们说，你们也进葡萄园去，所当给的我必给你们。他们也进去了。约在午正和申初又出去，也是这样行。约在酉初出去，看见还有人站在那里，就问他们说，你们为什么整天在这里闲站呢？他们说，因为没有人雇我们。他说，你们也进葡萄园去。到了晚上，园主对管事的说，叫工人都来，给他们工钱，从后来的起到先来的为止。约在有出雇的人来了，个人得了一钱银子。及至那先雇的来了，他们以为必要多得，谁知也是各得一钱。他们得了就埋怨家主说，我们整天劳苦受热，那后来的只做了一小时，你竟叫他们和我们一样吗？家主回答其中的一人说，朋友，我不亏负你，你与我讲定的不是一钱银子吗？拿你的走吧，我给那后来的和你一样，这是我愿意的。我的东西难道不可随我的意思用吗？因为我做好人，你就眼了，你就红了眼吗？这样，那在后的将要在前，在前的将要在后了。
Okay, thank you. The most obvious thing that should come clear to you is that this story is bracketed with the same verse twice.
不知道大家有没有注意到啊，这个经文它第一句和最后一句都是一样的，好像一个夹心饼干一样，把这段经文夹在中间。
So it's unmistakable what the parable is meaning to illustrate.
所以毫无疑问啊，这一段的比喻其实就是用来解释这第一句话和最后一句话。
And frankly, the story itself is very narrative and very unforgettable too.
这个故事也非常的有叙述性，让我们听了以后就很难忘记。
So as we go through this passage, I want to break down our study into four elements or four features.
那我们接下来学这段经文的时候，我想把它分为四个方面来讲。
First, we have the proverb, the sentence itself.
我们第一个要讲这个谚语，刚才读到这个第一句或者说是最后一句。
The parable.
这个比喻。
The story itself.
这个故事。
The point.
要讲这个故事，这个比喻要告诉我们的重点。
And finally, some principles that we can draw out of it.
还有最后我们会讲一些原则。
All right. So the proverb, the parable, the point, and the principles.
所以我们会讲这个谚语、比喻、重点，还有原则。
Let's first look at the proverb, then.
我们先来看一看，这个谚语这句话。
This phrase, many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first. Just by itself, how do you understand it?
这句话啊，有许多在前的将要在后，在后的将要在前，你是怎么理解这句话的
？How have you been interpreting this, or how do you interpret it now?
你原来是怎么理解这句话的？或者说，你现在读到这句话，你又是怎么去解释的呢
？What do you mean first is last? First is first and last is last.
什么叫做在前的要在后？就是第一名就应该是第一名，最后一名就应该是最后一名。
Well, let me first tell you what it does not mean.
那我先来告诉大家这句话它。他不是要告诉我们什么。
It does not mean that a believer who got baptized early, and then there's another believer who got baptized late, and he's more mature than the believer who believed early.
不是说一个后来受洗的要比一个早先在主里受洗的人，他可能成熟的更快。
Say if, For take example, let's say Justin was baptized 10 years ago, or so.
比如说，我们的 Justin 小弟兄，他是10年前受洗的吧
？Alright, he's been with the Lord in church all these years, and then Brother Tony got baptized 2 years ago.
Justin 他在我们教会或许已经有10年的时间在主里成长了10年。那 Tony 弟兄他或许在我们的教会刚刚受洗2年。
By the time that they're in their 60s or 70s or 80s.
等他们
Tony is more mature Christian than Justin is.
等他们60-80岁的时候，可能 Tony 要比 Justin 在主里面的成熟，主里面更加的成熟。
It could happen. Things like this happen.
有可能这样的事情也有可能发生。
But that's not the point of that's not what this verse is teaching.
但是这并不是这句话所要告诉我们的。
The only way to understand it is this, and that is, everybody finishes at the same exact time.
这句话其实他想要告诉我们的这个点就是说，不论是第一名还是最后一名，其实我们都是在同一个时间跨过这个终点线。
Everybody finishes in a dead heat, shoulder to shoulder.
我们都是好像肩并肩的，我们一起跨过去。
And that's not my guess. That's not just a guess that I made. It's because the parable proves it.
这并不是我的一个猜测，是因为这个比喻本身就是这样解释的。
So let's look at it.
好，我们下面来看看这个比喻。
So that was the proverb. Now the parable.
好，我们刚才看过了第一部分谚语，那我们来看第二部分比喻。
It says here that the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. Stop there for just a moment.
好，我们来看第一句，因为天国好像家主清早出去雇人进他的葡萄园做工。我们在这儿暂停一下。
Does everyone know what an ancient Israel workday is?
有没有人知道以色列人他们工作一天要多少个小时？
First thing we should know. 6 in the morning, right? That's the beginning of the workday.
他们早上起来 早上六点就要开始上班了。
And then it ends at 6 p.m., a 12-hour workday.
他们晚上六点才能下班，所以一天要工作十二个小时。
So if it's 6 a.m. early in the morning, the landowner must have gone out before 6 to hire the workers to do the job.
我们想想啊，如果他们的工作从早上六点就开始的话，那么这个家主他如果想要去雇人的话，他一定是早上六点之前他就要出门去雇人了。
Workers to do what? Take care of the take care of the vineyard.
这些雇工，这些工人，他们要做什么呢？他们要来照顾这个葡萄园。
So, I don't know anything about our agriculture, so this is all research. But in the land of Israel, there's two main types of topology, two main kinds of land in Israel.
我对农业一无所知，所以接下来分享都是我的一些学习或者是研究。那看到说，其实以色列的这个地形或者地势，它分为两种。
The first kind is plains, the plains, which is good for grains, growing grains.
一种是平原，非常适合去种植谷物。
The second type is hills, mountain slopes or hills.
第二种是山坡。
Those places are more suitable for vineyards.
这种第二种地势，它更适合去种植葡萄。
Two reasons. Supposedly the hills get more sun during the day, and number two, the moisture goes down the slope and it forces the roots to grow wider or something like that.
山坡之所以适合种葡萄哈，还有两个原因。第一个是因为它在坡上的话，它就会接受到更多的阳光。那第二个原因的话，山坡也比较容易让这个根更多的吸收它的水分，让这个葡萄长得更结实，也更大，结果更大。
The landowner would have had permanent workers to deal with this vineyard year round.
这个家主他也一定会有这些常住工人帮他来照顾他的葡萄园。
So in the spring, they would prepare the soil, maybe even carry the soil, because it was hard work.
在春天的时候呢，他们需要来预备这个土壤，他们甚至可能要背着很多的土。
In the summer, they would tie the branches, the growing branches, to make sure they get all the wind and sun they could get.
在夏天。
Air and sun.
在夏天的时候，他们要把这些葡萄枝修剪呀，或者把它系到一起，使得每一个枝子它们都可以接收到阳光或者是空气还有水分。
Come the time of August, that's when harvest begins.
等到八月份的时候，丰收就开始了。
And that requires more people than the landowner would have permanently.
在丰收的时候呢，他们就需要有更多的工人，比他平时要有的常住工人还要更多来收这个葡萄。
So it's manual work. It's time sensitive because if the rain gets here and we wait too long, the grapes will rot.
这个时间很紧迫啊，因为当葡萄丰收之后，接下来就是以色列的雨季，他要在雨季之前把这个葡萄都给收走。
By the way, I saw recently that there are these tours to Israel that you can go to explore the land of Israel.
最近我看到在网上好像有一些这些旅游团啊，能够带你去去探索在以色列里面去有一个行程。
There are tourists and Christians all over the world today going to Israel to do what? To pick the grapes, the vineyard.
有很多的这些基督徒或者是这些旅客，他们就去葡萄园里面去摘葡萄。
So there's some irony here, you know, you're paying them to pick their grapes.Instead of the other way around.
就好像今天你要去以色列采摘葡萄，不是人家给你钱，你还得反倒贴钱。
Maybe it's because they read this parable. I don't know.
或许他们读过这个比喻吧。
So that's the vineyard, the landowner. Let's talk a little about the temporary workers.
好，我们接下来来看看这些临时工。
These temporary workers, they would have been less skilled, less trained.
这些人他们估计可能手艺。没有常住工那么娴熟，而且他们可能也没得到很好的训练。
They were the lowest on the working social ladder.
在所有的工人里面，他们或许是最底层的。
Because even slaves or servants, they had guarantee of food and living, right? And the benefits for family.
即使是奴隶或者是仆人，可能都比这些人他们的身份要高，因为这些奴隶和仆人他们有一个稳定的收入，可以供给他的家人。
But the day workers worked one day at a time with very low pay.
但是这些日工的话，他们只是一天有活就干一天的，而且他们的收入很低。
If they didn't work that day, they would have nothing to eat.
如果他们今天没活干的话，没人雇他们的话，他们就没有东西吃。
Consequently, they were targets to be taken advantage of many times.
所以这种人经常他们会被别人也占便宜。
So they made enough for the day. They would buy bread at the end of the day, and if fruits or vegetables were in season, they could buy some of that.
如果他们赚了一天的工钱的话，他们就有钱去买一些，比如应季的水果和蔬菜来给他们的家里人。
God himself, by the way, was very concerned for people like this, so he had commands actually to protect them.
其实神本身他是非常的关心，也很关注这样一个穷苦的一个群体，他也有一些很明确的指令，怎么样去保护这些贫穷的人。
For example, Deuteronomy 24, it says this, 24:15, pay them their wages, that's the day laborers.Pay them these laborers each day before sunset, because they are poor and are counting on it. Otherwise, they may cry out to the Lord against you, and you will be guilty of sin.
在《申命记》24:15，要当日给他工价，不可等到日落，因为他穷苦，把心放在工价上，恐怕他因你求告耶和华，罪便归你了。
So that sets the stage for us. Any marketplace in any town, there will be a group of people standing in the morning waiting to be picked up.
所以这就给我们奠定了一个基础哈。我们看到，可能在任何的市场，或者是任何一个镇上，你就会看到有一群人，他们站在那儿，他们等着被选走去当日工。
You know what I'm talking. You know, you can relate to this, right? You've seen them in front of Home Depot, in front of Lowe's.
你可能在 Lowe's 或者 Home Depot， 你去买东西的时候，也看过这样一群人，他们在那儿要等着当日工。
Especially in like Southern California.
可能特别是在南加州。
So the landowner hires them and agrees with them, agrees to pay one denarius for them, to them.
所以这个家主就同意去雇佣一些日工，而且跟他们讲定的钱是每天给他们一钱银子。
Now this is a very important detail.
这是一个非常重要的细节。
Because the denarius, physically it was.About the size of a dime, silver coin.
这个一钱银子的话，我想美国的十分钱，咱们大家都见过多大。这个一钱银子就跟那个十分钱的大小差不多。
And their value in the first century is a little hard to quantify.
但是这个一钱银子在原来以色列那个时代的时候却不太好丈量。
I read anywhere from Some say it's one day's wage for a very respectable worker in a very respectable job.
有人说，这是一个一天里面非常可观的收入。如果这个人他的技术很好的话，你可能配他会给他一千银子。
Others using comparison and math and all this stuff, they said it's enough to cover food and supplies for a family of four for a week, 5 days.
如果你一家有四口的话，这一千银子够你们家。吃一个礼拜的，吃五天的。
In either case, one denarius is not something a day laborer would ever get.
所以说，我们就明白这一钱银子并不是一个日工平时他做工会得到的。
Did you catch that? It's a very generous wage.
这是一个非常慷慨的薪金了。
And then around 9 a.m.This landowner. He went back out and saw more of them standing there idle, so he hired them too.
在第三节的时候说，在约在四初，就是上午九点的时候，这个原主他又出去，又雇了更多的人。
He didn't say I'll pay you a denarius. He said I'll pay you whatever is right.
他没有跟他们说我要给你一钱银子，他只跟他们说，
I will pay you whatever is right.
OK， 所当给的我必给你们。
And they didn't question it. They just took him at his word. It's not like they had an option.
这些后来被雇的人好像也没有什么疑问，就相信了这个家主的话，就进去干活了。
Maybe some pay is better than no pay, potentially.
反正有的有钱赚总比没钱好。
So they went. And in verse 5, it says at noon and 3 p.m. he went out again and did the same exact thing.
在第五节的时候提到说，约在午正和申初，就是在中午和下午三点的时候，这个家主出去也是这样行。
We get the feeling, don't we, that it's not so much that he needs more people, but he's hiring them because of his compassion for them, towards them.
不知道大家有没有一种感觉啊？这个家主其实他可能并不一定他需要这么多的工人，他出去雇他们，完全是因为对他们充满了同情。
Verse 6 says it's now 5 p.m. There's 1 hour left in the workday.
在第六节的时候说到约在有初，就是讲到已经晚上五点了，还有一个小时，这一天的工作就要结束了。
Landowner goes out again, sees people still there. What are you doing? Idle. Oh, because no one hired us.
当这个家主他出去的时候，看到还有人在那儿闲站着，他问他们：“你们为什么在这站着？”他说：“因为没有人雇我啊。”
So maybe in his compassion, he hires them too.
那他的那个同情心，富有同情心又出来了，他又雇了这帮五点钟才进去工作的人。
This might be, these people might be the ones that are not so broad-backed, not so strong, maybe not as skilled, because no one hired them.
这些五点钟才进去的人，可能他们实在是手中没有什么能力，也没有什么技巧，所以根本都没有人雇他们。
I was looking at a Reddit thread. Somebody was giving tips on how to hire day workers at Home Depot.
我在准备经文的时候，我看有一个网站叫 Reddit， 上面有人给一些小的技巧啊，就是如果你要去 Home Depot 去雇一个日工的话，你应该如何去挑选
？They said, don't pick the people in the front of the line, the loud ones, the strong big ones.
说你不要看站在那个前排那个膀大腰圆、非常魁梧的人，不要挑他。
Because they tend to form cliques, or maybe even pick on the newer people.
就这些人，他们比较容易拉帮结派，然后他们会欺负那些新来的人。
And the people in the middle or the back, they're usually the ones who know the value of work. They won't haggle as much.
那些在中间的或者站的比较靠后的，其实他们才是那些知道努力去工作的这个价值观的人，而且他们通常也不太会跟你讨价还价。
But they would be the ones usually ignored.
但是通常他们却被人所忽视了。
I don't know. That was one person's opinion, okay? But this landowner, he took such people for one single hour of work.
所以这个家主我们看到他在五点的时候也去雇人，这些人只能为他工作一个小时。
So when the evening came at 6 p.m.
等到晚上到了，一天工作结束了六点的时候。
The landowner said to his steward, take these people, pay them, and then he says this most interesting thing.
等到晚上的时候，这个原主啊，他就跟管事的说第八节。
He says, beginning, pay them beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first.
他说了一句非常有这个有意思的话啊，他说从那个后来的起到先来的为止。
We just intersected with our proverb, didn't we?
这句话就让我们好像想到了刚才我们读过的那句谚语，对不对
？So say there's a line of 20 or 30 people. The 5 p.m. group is in the front.
我们可以想象一下啊，或许这站了有三十个人，那站在最前面的就是那个五点钟才被雇佣进来的人。
And it says here that they each received one denarius.
这五点钟才被雇佣进来的人，他们每个人都得了一千银子。
At that moment, you can imagine the people in the back of the line, right?
你或许可以想象那些站在后面等着的人，他们的心里。
Saying to each other, you know, did you see that?
他们可能说，哎，看着没有
？One denarius for 1 hour of work. We're gonna get 12.
这人只工作了一个小时，他就得了一千银子，咱们肯定能拿到十二千银子。
But as each person went by, everybody, including them, got the same one denarius.
但是每一个人最终他们都只得了一千银子。
And they couldn't hide their disappointment. They couldn't stay quiet.
他们实在是不能够掩饰自己的失望，他们也不能够保持沉默了。
So it says there in verse 12, right? You made us equal to the people who worked 1 hour, and we had to endure the scorching heat, literally the scorching from the sun.
所以在第十二节就说了，我们整天劳苦受热，那后来的只做了一小时，你竟叫他们和我们一样吗？
We know what the story is trying to say, but let's be honest. Humanly, from a human standpoint, I can really emphasize with that.
从一个普通人的角度来说，我真的完全可以能够同理这些人的感受。
It would be my gut reaction also.
我觉得我的第一反应也一定是这样的。
Last year, when I was leaving work with a colleague, we were walking to our car.
去年，有一天下班，我和我的同事，一起往车那边走。
He pulled me aside. He's like, "I gotta tell you something." He's like, "What? What?"
他把我拉到一边，跟我说，哎，我跟你说件事。我说怎么了？
He said, "Our salary, right? Your salary and my salary, it's about in this range, right?"
他说你的工资和我的工资，咱们大概就赚这么多，是不是？
I said, "Yeah, yeah."
我说嗯，是啊。
And when you, and he said, "When you started working in 2013, this was around your pay, your base pay."
他说你在2013年开始工作的时候，你的起薪就这么多，是不是？
It sure was.
我说嗯，是。
And then he said, "Do you know those engineer ones that were hired?" Out of campus last year.
你知道吗？那些一级工程师刚从学校里面出来的，他们的什么起薪是吗
？Their starting pay is 25,000 higher than what we started with.
他们的起薪比我们当初多了25,000。
We both rolled our eyes and said, "You gotta be joking me." You know?
他跟他同事就在那儿翻白眼就说。这太过分了。
Because we slaved for years to get to that amount.
因为我们为这公司做牛做马这么多年，我们才能到今天这个薪金的水平。
We have more experience, and here we are training them.
我们还有更多的经验，我们今天还得培训他们。
It's not fair.
不公平。
You might agree with that. You might agree with the 6 a.m. group. That's right. That's not fair.
你可能也同意我说的，你可能也同意那个早上六点就进来工作的人说的。
But the landowner in verse 13 answered, and this is marvelous, because it doesn't say if his answer shut them down. It sure shut me down when I remember this parable on the way home from work.
这个家主他所回答的实在是非常的巧妙。我不知道这个家主他所回答的有没有当时让那个早上六点就进来工作的人让他们就哑口无言了。但是至少我在从家。从上班回家的路上，当我听这一段的时候，实在是让我无话可说。
He said, "Friend, I am not being unfair to you."
他说，朋友，我不亏负你。
The word "friend" supposedly is better translated "buddy" or "dude" or "fellow."
这个朋友的话，其实更好的翻译应该是说哥们儿或者是家伙。
It's like in a mild rebuking manner.
稍微有一点点这种谴责的口吻。
He said, "Didn't you agree to work for denarius?"
说你不是和我讲定了1000银子吗
？Take your pay and go.
拿你的银子走吧。
I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you.
我给那个后来的跟给你的一样，这是我愿意的。
Don't I have the right to do with what is mine?
我的东西难道不能随我的意思用吗？
Or are you just jealous or envious because I am generous?
或者因为我这么大方，我做了好人，你就嫉妒，你就红了眼吗
？The special here, the issue here is envy. It's like a special kind of envy.
这个主要的问题在这，让我们看到就是人的这个嫉妒。
It's not just resenting something someone else got. It's something that you already have too.
这不是说我们去嫉妒别人所有的，其实我们本身我们自己也有。
For example, I worked all my life to get here, and this guy's aunt dies and leaves him all this.
比如可能我们想，哎呀，我工作了一辈子，让我今天才到了这个地步。这个家伙他的阿姨过世了，就留给他一大笔遗产。
I had to take $300,000 of mortgage. They used their daddy's paycheck.
我要付300,000的房屋贷款。这个人他爸爸开一张支票就解决了。
Jealousy is, still is a part of our fallenness, isn't it?
这个嫉妒实在是我们人堕落之后的一个表现。
I saw someone post a, for those of you who are younger, you know what a meme is, right? I saw a meme the other day.
有一天我在网上看到一个很幽默的这个图配文。
It wasn't really funny, but he said, people will celebrate your success with you as long as you're not doing better than them.
说别人啊，他们一定会和你一起欢庆你的成功，只要你不超过他们。
So those 6 a.m. guys, they didn't get unfair pay.
所以这个六早上六点就进来工作的人，他们并没有得到一个不公正的薪金报酬。
They just couldn't stand it when somebody else got it for doing less work than they did.
他们只是不能够接受别人比他们做的工作少，但是跟他们赚了一样的钱。
It would have been better to say, you know, this man is so generous, so wonderful.
其实我想更正确的方法应该是回应说，哇，这个家主他实在是非常的慷慨，他这样做真的是很好。
Or I'm so glad you got the same amount as I did.
我真的很开心你跟我赚到了一样的薪金。
Because that's what you needed.
因为这是正是你需要的。
Mark this, okay? These workers all worked different length of time, but their need was exactly the same.
所以这儿我们要敲重点了，大家要记住，就是这些人他们虽然工作的时长是不一样的，但是每一个人他们的需要却是相同的。
Now in this parable, you might be hung up on a question like I was for a while, and the question is, why didn't the landowner just pay the 6 a.m. group first?
我不知道你跟我会不会有同样的问题。
Why not just first in? Oh, sorry. Why not just first in, first out?
为什么他先付了这个晚上五点进来工作的人？他为什么不是新进来的就先给他钱呢
？The only conclusion I could come up with is this.
唯一的结论我所能够得到的是这样的。
The landowner does not exist.
这个家主其实他不是真正存在的。
The workers don't exist.
这个工人他也不是真正存在的。
It's a story.
这是一个故事。
That Jesus invented.
这是耶稣所告诉他门徒的一个故事。
Because if you pay the 6 a.m. group first, right? Maybe they wouldn't have stuck around to see what the others got.
如果要是这个家主他先付了早上六点就进来的那波人的话，他们可能也不会等到最后看到别人拿多少钱，他们就走掉了。
They would have left and got their food before the end of the day. You know, they wouldn't have complained.
他们可能在一天结束之前，他们拿着钱就走了，去买他们所需要的，他们也不会有心生抱怨。
Maybe Jesus wanted to show them complaining because it's a teachable moment.
或许耶稣就是想要让我们看到他们这样的抱怨，让我们看到耶稣他这个使用的这个受教的时刻。
Does that make sense? Made sense to me.
不知道大家觉得合不合理
？Because I did some research and nobody was mentioning this. I was like, why would you do that?
因为我也在网上去看了一些，那我看其实好像没有人特意去解释这一点。
So that's the parable, and we're gonna. So we have the proverb, the parable. Now we get to the point. What's the point of the parable?
所以我们刚才讲了谚语，我们也讲了这个比喻。那么接下来我们要看这个比喻它的重点在哪里
？First of all, I'm not mad about those engineer ones anymore at my job.
现在我不再为那些一级工程师跟我。比我起薪高那么多而气愤了。
I use this parable in a very worldly way, okay? But because I agreed to my salary before day one.
我把这个比喻好像用在了我实际的工作生活当中。因为确实我在我工作的第一天开始，我就已经同意了我的这个起薪。
Was it generous? Not really.
他们是不是给我的很慷慨呢？也不是。
Did it meet my needs?
但是有没有满足我当时的需要呢？yeah.
But this parable is not teaching us. It's not a parable Jesus invented to teach us about economics or wages.
可是这耶稣他所告诉我们这个比喻，他不是要告诉我们什么经济学，也不是要告诉我们关于我们的薪水要怎么样。
I mean, look at verse 1 again, right? It says the kingdom of heaven.
我们再来看一下第一节。他告诉我们说 ，Kingdom of Heaven， 天国。
Kingdom of Heaven is the sphere of salvation. It's the kingdom where God rules and reigns by grace through by faith through grace.
天国好像就是这样一个救恩的范围哈，在这个国度里面是由我们主耶稣基督他来掌权，也是借着人的信和神的恩典，让我们能够都在其中。
So this is a spiritual lesson, so we must interpret it that way.
所以这是一个属灵的比喻，我们也要用属灵的眼光来看它。
Let's look at the players.
我们来看看这里面所提到的这些人物。
The house owner, that's God.
这个家主其实讲到的就是神自己。
The vineyard is his kingdom, God's kingdom.
那么这个葡萄园讲到的就是神的国。
The day laborers, those that come into the kingdom.
这些日工，来到他这个国里面的这些日工，这些工人。
Born again Christians in service to the King, to God.
其实指的是我们每一个重生得救的基督徒，我们在这里来服侍神。
The 12-hour workday.
这
is our lifetime.
要工作一天工作十二个小时，这个长度其实讲到的是我们基督徒一生的这个时间。
The evening is eternity.
晚上讲到的是在永恒当中。
The denarius, the coin.That's eternal life.
这个一钱银子，其实在这里属灵的意义告诉我们，讲到的是那个永生。
We might even say that the steward or the foreman is Jesus Christ handing out those rewards.
我们或许也可以说，在第八节那儿提到那个管事的啊，他可能就是预指着我们的主耶稣。
So, given that, what's the spiritual point of this parable?
所以我们在这个比喻当中，我们看到了什么属灵的点呢？
What is Jesus trying to say here? It's simply this.
耶稣想要告诉我们什么呢？
No matter when God saved you.
不论你是什么时候得救的。
No matter what kind of service you do for God.
不论你为神做什么样的服事。
No matter how long or how hard you did it for.
不论你做这项服事有多么长的时间，是多么的辛苦。
No matter how difficult your Christian walk was or easy it was.
不论你这个基督徒的跟随主的这个脚踪是何等的轻松或是何等的艰难。
In the end, we're all going to receive the same eternal life.
到最终的时候，我们都要承受这个永生。
We're going to get the same eternal glory and the same eternal Christ-likeness.
我们会同样承受这个神那个永恒的荣耀，还有我们都要向主。
That thief on the cross, the penitent thief on the cross, he's going to inherit the same eternal life as the apostles.
还记不记得在十字架上与耶稣同钉的那个强盗，后来他忏悔了，那他所受到的永生跟你我是相同的。
Someone who is an unbeliever.
如果有一个人他不信神。
If he receives Christ on his deathbed and turns from a life of wickedness and embraces Christ,
如果他已经病入膏肓，在他的病床上，可是，在那一刻，他愿意远离他自己的罪行，离开他自己的罪恶，他愿意投入耶稣的怀抱的时候，
he will receive the same eternal life, just like a missionary in the jungle who worked for 50 years there.
他也会收到同样的永生，与那些去可能在丛林里面为主做传教士五十年的时间，甚至把他们自己的生命都献上的人，他们所受到的永生是一样的。
It's a great truth to think about.
这实在是一个非常伟大的真理，我们所要去思考的。
But this might be like a hard pill to swallow for some of you. Maybe you're still kind of unconvinced.
但是可能对有一些人来说，这个概念觉得有一些难接受。
You probably remember something else from the Bible, and you say it's not fair.
我们可能觉得不太公平。
Well, let's think about, and let's think about three things.
我们来想三件事情。
And you've heard the first one before, right? Someone, I think Brother Peter probably said this before.
你原来可能也听过，原来那个刘弟兄也可能讲过。
Do you want God to be, if God was to be fair, he would throw all of us into hell, wouldn't he?
如果神他是公平的话，如果你想神是公平的话，他今天可以把我们所有的人都扔进地狱里面去。
Because he didn't provide the angels a way for redemption when they fell, he does not owe us the same either.
当天使堕落的时候，神没有预备一个道路去拯救他们，但是神却为我们预备了救恩。
The second thing.
第二点。
Is let's not be a Jonah. Let's not be Jonas.
我们不要像这个约拿书里面的约拿一样。
We remember he got all dramatic with God and said, said I told you, I knew you were a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger, and relent from calamity.
我们还记不记得约拿在这个约拿书里面他说哈，耶和华，我在本国的时候岂不是这么说吗？我知道你是有恩典、有怜悯的神，不轻易发怒，又丰盛的慈爱，而且后悔不降所说的灾。
Kill me, because I'd rather die than see these clowns get saved in Nineveh.
他约拿就说什么？你把我杀了吧！你把我杀了，我都不想看到这些尼尼微人得救。
And three, the denarius, the eternal life, is given by grace anyway, right?
还有这个一钱银子，实际上指的是永生，它是因着神的恩典今天赐给我们的。
Even for the early birds, even for the 6 a.m. group.
即使对于那些六点就进来工作的人来说。
Because, you know, cleaning the bathroom whenever there's service scheduled for you does not get you a better eternal life.
我们有清洁服侍组，如果你是那个刷厕所的话，你刷厕所不会让你有一个更好的永生。
When it comes to getting eternal life, leading multiple Bible studies do not get you a better one.
或者如果要是周五查经，你总带查经，也不会让你收到一个更丰厚的永生。
Faithfully providing food, ordering food and bringing it to everyone does not get you a better eternal life.
或者说你为教会主日做饭做哀宴，或者你去订餐你去取餐，也不会让你有一个不一样的永生。
As tasty as they are, so please don't stop doing that.
但是食物还是很好吃的，请大家继续带来。
I remember for at least not even a decade, maybe 15 years or maybe 18 years in our church.Two brothers showed up 30 minutes before everyone else did.
大概有十八年的时间，我记得，我们教会里面有两个弟兄，他们总是主日很早就来我们的会所。
One opened the door, and the other one came right here, walked right here.
一个人负责开门，另外一个人他就会到前面这儿来。
He would climb the stairs,
他会
bring the cup, the bread, everything.
他会爬上这个楼梯这里，然后他去拿那个盘子，拿饼，拿葡萄汁，拿还有杯。
He would carry the table from that from over there to right here.
他会把那边放饼杯的桌子从那个角落里面搬到正中央来。
Sometimes the people assigned to do bread and cup, they would forget to wash at the end of the service.
有的时候可能有的人被排到饼杯服侍，但是可能却忘记了洗那个盘子和再重新摆上那个杯。
Since he's here early, he did it.
但是因为那位弟兄他每次他都早来，所以每一次都是他来检查，他再来做预备。
And when he was done, he would sit down and take notes, sermon notes every single week.
等他做完这些之后，每一次在讲道的时候，他也非常的认真的去写笔记，去听道。
We have right here a faithful man of God, don't we?
我们好像看到了一个神忠心的仆人在这里。
But he's not going to inherit a better eternal life than me or you.
但是他承受的那个永生，和你我是一样的。
Or anyone that repents unto salvation.
或者是任何一个真正悔改去接受耶稣基督救恩的人。
Now, the 12 apostles or any first century believers, we can agree, right? They're the first 6 a.m. group.
我不知道大家能不能想到啊，这个十二个使徒，其实他们就是所谈论的这个早上六点就进去工作的这批工人。
When Jesus told this parable, it was in some ways for them, because in the last chapter, Jesus confronted a rich young ruler.
其实耶稣说这个比喻，我想应该就是为着这个十二个使徒所说的。那么在这个读这个比喻之前的前一章，还提到耶稣跟一个少年官的一段对话。
He said to him, "Admit your sins, pretty much. He wouldn't do it."
他跟那个少年官基本上就是说，你应该要认你的罪，可是他没有。
He asked him to sell everything he has, let go and follow him.
他跟那个
He didn't do it.
他跟那个少年官说：“把你所有的都变卖了吧，你来跟从我。”
So, and then after some dialogue, Peter said this. He said on behalf of all the 12, all 12 disciples, really. He said, we left everything and followed you. We left everything. What then will there be for us?
他刚才让那个少年官去撇下所有跟从他，但是那个少年官没有。那耶稣他有一个使徒叫做彼得，那彼得好像代表这十二个人发言，就说了，说主啊，我们已经撇下了所有来跟从你，将来我们要得什么呢？
The implication is clear, right? We should get something more than they do.
好像彼得他这个话里面有一个隐意在那儿，就是说我们好像应该要比别人得的更多。
This was an ongoing thing. Two chapters before this, even during Passion Week, they were still comparing sizes or comparing who's better.
在这个两章之前，在这个耶稣受难周刚开始的时候，他们还在这互相比较，哎呀，你大我大谁大。
But there isn't. So that's why Jesus told the parable to them.
所以但是其实并没有一个谁大，所以耶稣告诉他们这个比喻。
I might have seen some frowns as we go through this. Let me address what possibly is an elephant in the room.
我看到可能有人皱眉头啊，我想给大家说一下这屋子里的大象，不是这意思啊，开玩笑。想要说一下大家可能都在想的一件事情是什么
？And that is, you might be thinking, right? There are letters, there are epistles that talk about our eternal reward based on what we do here.After we believe.
当我们也有很在圣经里面有一些书信有提到，当我们信了之后，我们的好行为神也都计算，那神也会以后给我们在永久当中的那个赏赐。
Right.
对不对
？First Corinthians, for example.
比如说在哥林多前书里面。
Well, this is not about that.
但是马太福音第二十章我们读的这个比喻不是关于这个以后在神面前的那个赏赐。
Because the reason I say that because rewards are not based on length of work, it's not based on difficulty of work, but based on the motive.
因为我们以后在神面前的赏赐，不是看你在主里服侍了多久，不是看你在主里服侍有多么的辛苦，多么的艰难，而是看你的服侍的动机是什么。
All right, so.First Corinthians, I think chapter 3 deals with that. But Matthew 20 is strictly talking about salvation by grace through faith.
在哥林多前书第三章可能讲到那个赏赐啊，但是在马太福音二十章这里，让我们看到的讨论的就是神的这个救恩，是保护恩，也是因着信。
And as I was thinking this, I was saying to myself, you know, even if I don't get any of those rewards, isn't justNot going to hell, being saved enough.
有时候我自己也在想啊，如果我以后到神的面前，我没有得到任何其他的嘉奖，难道现在我不再是一个罪人了？我被拯救了，这还不够好吗
？What can be more perfect than perfect salvation and Christ-likeness?
还有什么比我们以后能够向主更美好、更完美的呢
well, ？Praise God, there is some measure of that. We don't know how, but There's something like that in the Bible.
我们感谢主，圣经里面有提到这些。
If we go to Revelation 4 for a moment.
如果我们看一下启示录第四章。
In starting with verse 9.
第九节。
It says this, 9 to 11, Revelation 4. Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to Him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever.The 24 elders, that's the raptured church, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him. And here's a key. It says, they lay their crowns before the throne and say, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive honor, glory, power, for you created all things, and by your will they were all created and have their being.
在启示录第四章的第九节到第十一节这样讲到，每逢四活物将荣耀、尊贵、感谢归给那坐在宝座上、活到永永远远者的时候，那二十四位长老，这也指到是这个被救赎的教会，就俯伏在宝座的面前，敬拜那活到永永远远的。这里重点是在这里，告诉我们说，把他们的冠冕放在宝座前，说。我们的主，我们的神，你是配得荣耀、尊贵、权柄的，因为你创造了万物， 并且万物是因你的旨意被创造而有的。
One day, when we are face to face with our Savior, when we die,
当有一天等我们离开这个世上，我们与我们的主面对面的时候，
You know this. Everything, every good thing we did in His name is going to pale in comparison to what we see the person who gave His life for us.
我们的好行为好像在我们这位荣耀主的面前都显得是何等的苍白，都失去了光芒。
Our reaction is probably not going to be unlike these, the rapture church or any these elders.
我们的那个感受可能跟这些24个长老不太一样。
So overwhelmed with gratitude that we will break out in worship.
抱歉，我们的感受可能跟这个24位长老是一样的。我们要在神面前，我们实在是。由我们的内心，我们向神发出赞美和感谢。
We will immediately throw those crowns that we got before His feet.
我们把任何主耶稣好像将来以后要给我们的冠冕，我们都要投在他的脚前。
Because we both, you and I both know, all honor belongs to God anyway.
因为我们知道一切的荣耀，一切的这些尊荣都是归于神的。
Okay, let me move quickly. So that was the parable, the proverb, the parable, the point, and now we come to a few short principles.
好，我们刚才看了谚语，看了这个比喻，我们也看了原则，最后重点。那最后我们要来看几个原则。
First, I can't resist this one. God redeems those that are willing.
第一点啊，告诉我们说，神他去拯救那些心里面愿意的人，已经预备的人。
We just like the day workers are fully dependent on someone else.
我们就好像这些日工一样，我们实在是要靠着别人去生活的。
When we truly believed we were not rich, we were not self-sufficient, we were not complacent, we were poor.
当我们相信神的时候，我们发现啊，我们这个人非常的贫穷，我们也非常的有需求。
We are not the people that say, I'm a good enough person.
我们不是那种说哎看我多好的人。
I don't know why the landowner didn't hire everybody at the same time.
我不知道为什么这个家主他没有在一大早上的时候就把这些人全都一下都雇进来。
And we don't know why God saves people in different, seasons of life.
我们也不知道为什么神会在每一个人不同的人生的阶段去寻找他，去拯救他。
But we know that the need is there, right? Whether the person knows it,We're not.
但是我们知道那个人的那个需要在哪里，不论这个人他自己知不知道。
Did you have a need when you were converted?
当你回转信主的时候，你有没有一个需求，有没有一个需要？
If the church served, just peanut butter jelly sandwich today, half of you would probably go home to eat lunch.
如果今天教会午餐咱们就吃花生酱面包的话，或许可能一会儿在座的一半都不见了，回家吃午饭了。
But there are people in the world for if you gave them a peanut butter jelly sandwich, they would kiss your hand in Thanksgiving.
但是世界上也有的地方的人，如果你可能把这个花生酱面包给他的时候，他可能都不住的亲你的手，向你表示感谢。
No, why? Because they have a need. The need is there.
我们知道为什么，因为他们实在是有一个需要，那个需要就在那里。
Second principle. All who went to the vineyard.Worked. Everyone worked.
第二个原则就是让我们看到所有进到葡萄园的人，每一个人他们都工作了。
Here I'm reminded of James 2, where it says your faith is proven by your works.
让我想到了雅各书的第二章，说我们的信心是由我们的行为来做见证的。
In other words, your works don't save you, but your works demonstrate your faith.
那句话是这样说，我们的行为不能够使我们得到神的救恩，但是我们的行为可以证明我们里面有信心。
And on the flip side, for those that don't work, demonstrate their lack of belief and faith.
那与此相反的话，如果我们没有一个好行为的话，其实正证明了我们心里面对神没有那个信心。
Like in this story, it doesn't say anything about any of the workers, you know, being freeloaders, right?
在这个故事里面没有提到任何一个工人，他们是在里面闲懒不干任何工作的。
And third principle,
第三点。
And this should be an obvious one.
这很明显。
Everything received from God is a matter of grace.
第三点，这非常的明显，我们任何从神所得到的都是神的恩典。
Because of that, there's no room for jealousy, envy, or works merit.
正是因为这样，我们就不应该里面再存有那个嫉妒，或者是骄傲，或者是觉得我们很有什么优点或是优势。
Jesus insinuates here, you know, I chose you, I called you.
耶稣在这里好像告诉我们说，我拣选了你，我呼召了你。
I justified you, I perfected you, and you, I give you eternal life.
我使你称义，我使你成圣，我也把永生赏给你。
According to my goodness and my terms.
但是这是因着神他自己的恩典，因着他的恩赐。
So I review this parable not to point out, you know, you should do this or you shouldn't do that.
我讲这个比喻的目的不是想要告诉我们大家我们应该做这个或者是做那个。
But rather, you know, it's more like how we should view God in light of this truth.
而是我们在神的真理的光中，我们应当如何来看待我们的主。
So if you're someone who was converted very early on in life, praise God.
如果你是一个在很小的时候或者很早年的时候你就得救的基督徒的话，你应该感谢神。
You ought to be so thankful because the life and words of Christ are in you.
因为神的那个工作实在是在你的心里面。
It must have saved you tons of crooked ways and bad decisions.
让你少走了多少弯曲的道路，而且让你不会去做那些不合神心意的决定。
Who knows what kind of troublemaker you would have been if God didn't restrain your evil?
如果神不是神的话，神来限制我们的话，我们今天可能每一个人在座的我们都是一个麻烦制造者。
Think to Timothy, who had the influence of his mother Eunice and grandmother Lois.
我们可以想想在圣经里面的那个提摩太，他从小如何受到他妈妈尤尼基和他的外祖母罗以的教导影响。
Paul said these make you wise for salvation.
保罗说要让你在救恩里面你要做一个聪明的人。
On the other hand, if you're an older gentleman or a man and you were saved decades after fighting against God.
但是如果你是一个一直跟神在那儿对抗，我死活也不要得救，但是最后才得救了的人的话。
You are the 3 PM and 5 PM workers.
那你就好像是在这个比喻当中三点或者晚上五点才进去做工的工人一样。
And you should have equal, if not greater, appreciation for what God did for you.
你应该跟前一组比，你应该至少有同样的感谢，或者说是更多的感恩。
Because you were dominated by sin longer.
因为你这个人是更长的时间、更长久的时间被罪所控制。
Like the sinful woman in Luke, right?With the jar of perfume.
就好像在路加福音提到的那个有罪的女人，当时她拿着那个香膏到耶稣的面前。
You would love much because you have been forgiven much.
她爱得多，因为她被赦免的更多。
In either case, our needs were all the same.
不论是哪一种情况，我们的需求都是一样的。
May we say often, you know, thank you.Thank you, Lord Jesus.
愿我们心里面真的常常向我们的主发出感谢，跟主说：“主啊，谢谢你。”
You are not unjust, you are not unfair.
你并不偏爱人，你也不是不公平。
You are no respecter of person.
你并不是看人下菜碟儿。
You don't show partiality.
你没有偏爱任何一个人。
You are just and right in all that you do.
你是公正的，你也是在任何事中，你都是完全正确的。
All right, let's pray.
好，我们一起祷告。
Father, we're so thankful that you called us when we were still yet sinners.
主啊，我们的心何等的感谢你，因为我们还做罪人的时候，你就呼召我们。
And we thank you that you gave us you. While it's your, while it's our responsibility to recognize our sin, you did a supernatural work in us.
我们的责任是要去看到我们的罪，但是你却来拯救我们。
Do not treat our sin as we do not treat us according to our sins.
求你不要按照我们的罪恶和过犯来待我们。
May you give us a heart that does not envy, does not belittle any other believer.
求你给我们一颗不要向着别的信徒有嫉妒的心。
And may your words warm our heart and make us glad and to do good work with the correct motives for our Savior.
愿你能够再次用你的话来提醒我们，让我们能够以一个正确的动机，我们来爱我们的神，来服侍我们的主。
We also pray, Lord, that there are those that do not yet know you here.
我们也为那些现在还没有相信你的人祷告。
There is a lack of need.
这实在是有一个需要在那里。
May no one leave this place until they recognize their need.
愿每一个在这里的人，他们都能够意识到他们的需要，他们才会离开这个地方。
Thank you for drawing us near, and thank you for interceding for us all the days of our life.
感谢主，你能够使我们来就近你，也感谢你成为我们的中保。
We ask and thank you in Jesus Christ's name.
我们奉主耶稣基督的名祷告，阿门。
Thank you.